It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 41 degrees under overcast skies. Today is Tuesday, April 8th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly will take a final vote on tightening up its anti-smoking ordinance when it meets in regular session tonight. The original ordinance was passed by voter initiative in 2009, but a Christmas party at the American Legion late last year revealed a possible loophole. As a private club, the Legion opted to remain a smoking establishment, but disallowed smoking specifically for the party. The club did so with the blessing of the municipal attorney and the administrator, since the ordinance passed by voters wasn't perfectly clear on the matter. The revised language would close that loophole and prohibit smoking establishments from temporarily declaring themselves non-smoking. The Assembly has taken extensive public testimony on the matter and sent the language to the local Health Needs and Human Services Commission for review. A final vote has been postponed at least three times. Also on tonight's agenda, amending Port and Harbor's rules to establish clear requirements for vessel maintenance and extending the time home builders have to apply for a sales tax refund for construction materials. A work session on the development of the benchlands will precede tonight's meeting at 5 p.m. Raven Radio will provide live coverage of the regular meeting beginning at 6. The Senate Finance Committee released its capital budget yesterday, and there is funding for a number of high-profile projects in Sitka and surrounding communities. Senators approved spending $3.3 million in cruise ship head taxes to remodel Harrigan Centennial Hall. The total cost of that project is expected to be around $16 million. The renovated building will be heated by a $232,000 heat pump paid for by a rural energy project grant. Other big projects in Sitka to make the committee's list are $2.7 million to replace the Thompson Harbor transient float, $790,000 for improvements to the water infrastructure on Monastery and Baranoff Streets, and $500,000 for improvements to the campus of UAS Sitka. Neighboring communities served by KCAW were also identified for funding. Cake is slated for a $3.5 million upgrade to its power system and $3 million for improvements to its ferry terminal. Angoon should see over $1.8 million for a new ferry terminal building and $700,000 for sewer improvements, and Pelican could get $300,000 for an ice plant. There are three potential hurdles for the committee's budget: a vote of the full Senate, which is by no means guaranteed, a vote of the House, which has its own ideas about what projects should be funded, and approval by the governor, who already submitted a draft budget with a deficit, which he will be reluctant to enlarge. The Alaska legislature is scheduled to adjourn on April 20th. And this is not your grandfather's shop class. Late last month, a group of high school and college shop teachers and a few of their students gathered for a three-day workshop in Sitka's state-of-the-art design and fabrication lab. The use of 3D printers and other computer-controlled equipment has revolutionized shop and turned one of the most remote classrooms in the building into the coolest place in school. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Tell me your name and where you're from and what you're doing here.
John Niebergall from Sherwood High School. I'm helping some teachers and students get into digital design and fabrication.
Sherwood High is outside of Portland, Oregon.
You got an idea, you want to make a model or an output of something in three dimension, whether you build it in wood, build it in metal, plastic, 3D print it. You have to visualize it, and then you get to make it, and you have an output of a product in your hand. And that's what gets kids excited.
Yes, digital fabrication gets kids excited, but in this workshop, the teachers can barely contain their enthusiasm.
My name's Pat Kraft. I'm one of the instructors at Portland Community College down in Portland. I grew up kind of in an era where Star Trek was, you know, when I was young, Star Trek was young, and all these shows came on, and the thought of having a replicator where you could put something in there and create another one just like it coming out of there.
And now they have the tools to create just about any kind of machine part, even parts that are not for machines.
I'm Kent Winship. We're with Dillingham, Bristol Bay Campus, UAF.
What are you working on right now?
This is a scan. We've got a fetal orca whale that swam up the freshwater river, and two parents. One of them was pregnant, so we've got the fetus. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to scan. It's mostly cartilage. So we're going to scan it and try to print it out in plastic before we lose those cartilage parts.
Scan it how?
A laser scanner. It just can measure the surface like 20,000 points per square inch. And it'll record it and then put it into a CAD, computer-aided drafting program. And then we can actually print it out in plastic.
Right.
Or if we're even talking about maybe trying to mill it out of a CNC mill, out of bone or something.
CNC stands for Computer Numerical Control. Besides a pair of 3D printers, this lab has a CNC vinyl cutter and a laser engraver. What's got these guys most excited is not necessarily the ability to make a whale fetus. It's about trying to make that fetus and failing. Niebergall and Kraft are pioneering the integration of technology into shop class. They say repetition is education.
Kids are afraid to fail, and this forces them to fail, if you will, or fail forward, because if it doesn't work, you can tweak it.
Failure's okay, because it's part of the improvement process.
Right, and that's what industry wants, people that aren't afraid to fail forward, reinvent, remodify, and make it right. And it might take 4 or 5 iterations, but we can do it quickly.
We failed.
Randy Huey is the recently retired woodshop teacher at Sitka High. He wrote the grants for Sitka's Fab Lab and the statewide workshop. Huey has microwaved some chocolate chips with unfortunate results.
What were you trying to make there?
Well, it was just trying to melt chocolate to put into this mold which John has made.
Digitally fabricated custom candy bar molds. This technology gives kids the ability to aim for the stars, but a prom date is not a bad start.
What my kids did is they made prom invitations for the young ladies, wrapped it up in chocolate, and it said prom with a question mark on it.
Wow. Huh? Is this a case of failing forward?
Total fail forward.
For a moment, it sounds like the shop class I remember, but it's not. John Niebergall assures me that I'm looking at a different sort of future for technical education.
Shop used to be the dark space at the end of the hall.
Dumping grounds is the term we tend to say. But now they're the creative piece that is driving the economy recovery is manufacturing. And if we can get young people excited about that and see the career potential, that's what's going to help us get out of our slump, if you will, as America.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
It all comes back to Star Trek sooner or later.
It really does, yeah.
You can check out pictures and video from Sitka High's Fab Lab on our website, kcaw.org. And the Alaska Folk Festival in Juneau brings together hundreds of musicians and fans every year to celebrate live music. The musicians come from all over Southeast Alaska and beyond and are of all ages. One of the very youngest groups is from Petersburg, the Double Rock Band. But as Angela Denning reports, although they're young, they're not new to the stage.
The Double Rock Band is made up of 3 Spurl siblings and a friend. The Spurls live on a little family farm, about a 20-minute drive south of Petersburg. When you walk in the front door, 3 violins are hanging on the wall at eye level. So, not surprisingly, there's live music coming from within the home. But if you didn't know better, you might think it's adults jamming out instead of kids ages 11 to 15. He's big around the middle and he's from across the room, going 9 miles an hour, taking... This song about a bear, Old Slewfoot, is the band's favorite to play.
That one's fun. All of us have a part in it, and yeah, it's upbeat and funny.
At 15, Kelsa Spurl is the oldest in the group and kind of the de facto band leader.
This will be our 3rd time going to Folk Fest playing, so both with the Fiddleheads the last 2 times. So this is our 1st time going by ourselves without lots of other people on stage, so it's going to be kind of exciting.
The Fiddleheads was another much larger youth group in Petersburg, which had about a dozen members. These 4 have been playing as the Double Rock Band for less than a year, practicing about twice a week. Besides Kelsa, there are her 2 brothers, Corin, who is 13, and Cole, who is 11, and they all play with their friend Aaron Funt, who is 14. Corin has focused on the guitar since he was 6. The other 3 started out on the violin. Aaron has since moved on to the upright bass, and Cole, the mandolin.
I just taught myself the mandolin 2 years ago, I think it was, but I started fiddle when I was 6. And then I started piano about a year ago.
So between the fiddle, the mandolin, the piano, do you have a specific passion in there, or are they all the same to you?
I like the fiddle and mandolin a lot better than piano. But.
And do you know why that is?
Because they sound better.
Thank you.
So with all the musicians under the same roof, where's the music coming from? I ask their mother, Tasha Spurl.
You know, we don't really exactly know where the music's coming from, because it's not really coming from Donald and I.
But these days, the band and the parents agree. They're pretty much committed to music. Here's what the band members have to say about why they like to play music, starting with upright bassist Aaron Funt.
Once you get good enough to play in a band, it gets really easy. Whereas, like, when I was younger in the band, you have to learn all the songs. Now that I play with the Spurls, I know a lot of the songs, so it's a lot more easy and you can have fun.
I don't know, it's nice to hear your instrument make a good sound once you know how to play it, you know? And then especially playing with other people and, like, my brothers and Aaron, it's cool because we can make so much, like, sound with just four instruments. It's really fun.
Well, I like it because, you know, you can actually make music. And used to be, you know, you just kind of listen to people playing music, whether it's up on stage or in the car or just on a CD or something, you know. I guess I always thought when people are playing this music on a CD or whatever that there has to be this big orchestra, but just like I think maybe Kelsey mentioned that, and it's fun just because even with a little bit of instruments, you know, if you know how to play them, you can make things really sound good. So I like that.
That story by Angela Denning in Petersburg. Just about 8:01. This is KCAW Sitka. Stay tuned for NPR. Then it's a live interview at 8:18. Good morning.